So most fans are really familiar with the basketball side of an NBA team. You know, the starting five, you probably know the general manager and the coach. And then there's this parallel world in NBA franchises, which is the business operations.
Kevin Arnovitz writes about the NBA for ESPN.
NBA teams have senior vice presidents of human resource. And for the Sacramento Kings, that person is Stacey Wegzin. So August 2018, Wegzin is doing human resourcey stuff. For one, there's this document that an executive who just left for the Miami Heat was supposed to leave behind. It was a schedule of commissions for sales reps. But he'd forgotten to do so, and now she needed to dig into some files to find it. So she opens up the file directory, and it is a mess. She can't find anything. There's no rhyme or reason to dates or names of folders. She does find this one folder titled TurboTax, and inside is all kinds of just really weird stuff. There's a depreciation schedule for a golf cart and furniture at some beach house in Southern California. None of this looks like anything that is Sacramento Kings business. And what's really weird is all of this stuff is associated with an entity she has never heard of. Wegzin looks over all this stuff and she just knows something here isn't right.
Today, the untold story of how a high-ranking NBA executive stole $13 million and almost got away with it. I'm Mina Kimes. It's Tuesday, November 19th. This is ESPN Daily, presented by Dell Small Business. So, Kevin, you published your story today. It starts with the Sacramento Kings' chief revenue officer. Who is this guy?
Jeff David is the chief revenues officer for the Sacramento Kings, and that's just a fancy name for the guy who deals with all the sponsorships, right? He's in charge of the naming rights for the arena. He's in charge of in-arena signage, the practice facility sponsor, and was really well thought of in this space. If you ask a bunch of business side people in the NBA, hey, who are the 10 most likely people to become team presidents in the next 10 years? Like, Jeff David's often on that list.
What kind of guy was he?
He was a California bro. He was the consummate sales guy. He would come into a Monday morning meeting and say, let's close some phone numbers today. And closing phone numbers in Jeff's speak was, let's close some seven-figure sponsorship deals. He was generally well-liked as just an effusive, hug-it-out kind of guy in the office.
So it's an exciting time to be part of the Sacramento Kings. And he does something interesting. He creates his own company, Sacramento Sports Partners. Why does he do this?
So when you ask Jeff David, what he says is that at around 2011, there was an NBA lockout. And a lot of people really panic. I mean, the thing about a lockout is there's just not any revenue coming in. Everything's frozen. And so I think a lot of business affairs people in the NBA are just worried, like, what if I have to lose my job? What if I have to go do something else? So the way Jeff David tells it is, I created this thing because, look, I might need to do some consulting on the side.
But that's not what he does.
No, Jeff David starts to do something really interesting. Rather than billing sponsors that he gets to buy signage in the arena through the traditional Sacramento Kings accounting, he has them pay Sacramento Sports Partners, which looks like if you're getting an invoice at this company that has just bought this signage, it seems perfectly appropriate. It seems like exactly the kind of entity you would pay if you're writing a check to the Sacramento Kings. Unbeknownst to the company, it's actually an entity owned by Jeff David that sounds like some subsidiary of the Sacramento Kings.
How much money are we talking about?
He did about three deals totaling a little around $30,000.
So what happens next?
So it really starts ramping up 2015, 2016. And the Kings were moving from their really old arena to this brand new sparkling downtown jewel box. He is the point person for the naming rights, both for the arena and the practice facility. And the Kings identify, really David identifies, two sponsors that are relatively local. One is Golden One, which is a credit union in California. And the other is Kaiser Permanente, healthcare provider, well-known in California. He negotiates a really good deal for both sides. I mean, it's going to be $110 million over 20 years with Golden One. They're going to have their name in lights. This is the biggest deal of Jeff David's career. And Kaiser Permanente is going to pay $28 million over 10 years to have their name on the practice facility. Everyone is thrilled. His bosses are happy. The sponsors couldn't be happier, especially Golden One. It's this little credit union. They're going to have their name on an NBA arena. It's all really great. And then he gets creative.
How's that?
For whatever reason, David decides that he wants some for himself. At a certain point during that negotiation, there was conversations between Golden One and the Kings that, look, if you guys ever need more cash up front, we're a credit union. We can help. We can't keep cash on hand. So whether it's finishing the arena or whatever, we could possibly be a service. Jeff David filed that away. And then in 2016, after the deal's completed, he comes to Golden One and says, hey, remember those conversations? What if we did that? What if you sent $9 million our way, and in exchange, we'll knock off some money off the later payments down in the deal past 2026, down the road? Golden One couldn't be happier to help. They're thrilled with the partnership, and they wire $9 million to Sacramento Sports Partners.
And then he does it again with another deal.
Jeff David does something very similar with Kaiser Permanente, the training facility naming sponsors Kaiser Permanente. 10 years, $28 million. It's now, a lot of these deals that teams do with these kinds of sponsors, they have what's called an escalator, which is just a fancy way of saying that there's an inflationary adjustment to each annual payment. So Jeff David goes to Kaiser Permanente and says, hey, rather than put escalators for each of the payments, why don't you just give us $4.4 million up front and we'll go without escalators? Kaiser says, absolutely, that's absolutely fine. They send $4.4 million to
Sacramento Sports Partners.
Exactly. So he has over $13 million from Kaiser and Golden One, the team's biggest sponsors ever, that get wired into his account for his own personal gain. And the Kings know nothing about it.
How does no one else at the organization have any idea that this is happening?
Yeah, this was a question that kept getting at me when I was trying to get to the bottom of the mystery. And I asked Jeff David, I said, were you ever worried that, you know, on game nights when all the sponsors and the mucky mucks are down on the floor for warmups and everybody's socializing in the Lexus Club, that your boss wouldn't be talking to the head of Golden One, Donna Bland, and say, hey, thanks for floating us that $9 million. And David said that he never actually worried. I mean, one of the things he said is it's sort of like Thanksgiving dinner with your family. Like when the sponsors interact, and I was primarily the point person, when they're interacting with Kings officials, no one's talking about the transactional nature of your sponsorship deal or your deal structure. It's almost uncouth. And the truth of the matter is everybody trusted Jeff David. Why not? He was the NBA's consummate soccer dad. He was really good at this job. Everybody was happy. Everybody was instilled with this Sacramento rising sort of spirit. This downtown hollow core is being built up, and here are the parties responsible for it. Everybody was having a really good time, and nobody was talking about the transactions.
At any point, does he come close to getting caught?
So a really interesting thing happens. So when it comes time for Golden One to make their first annual payment, this is not the $9 million up front. This is just their first annual July 1st payment. They actually send the annual payment that's due to the Kings to Sacramento Sports Partners, Jeff David's entity. David has to explain like, oh, no. This was just the account that was really for that $9 million construction money. Now I'm going to give this back to you and you're going to wire it to the actual King's account. So nobody at Golden One thinks anything of this. And if you think about it, you know, I mean, errors happen all the time. Again, nobody was on alert that, you know, the lead sponsorship executive and one of the most respected young executives in Sacramento would just be siphoning off this kind of money.
I mean, all told, how much money are we talking about here?
We're talking about $13 million when you add it to obviously the $30,000 little appetizer from the previous years.
So Jeff David is siphoning off millions of dollars. What does he do with it?
Jeff David decides that beachfront real estate is going to be his jam. He takes the $13 million and he purchases two homes, an $8 million gorgeous beach house right on the strand in Hermosa Beach. I mean, looking out onto the beach volleyball, the Pacific Ocean, and another house for $3.8 million. And what he's going to do is he's going to fix them up and he plans to flip them. But in the meantime, he's going to enjoy the smaller home, which is the one two blocks off the beach in Manhattan Beach. And, you know, he and his family essentially make it kind of their weekend home for a couple of years.
But aside from that, he's not living large.
No, but that's kind of the interesting thing is, you know, he didn't have an expensive drug habit or a gambling habit. He didn't live extravagantly. He didn't chase bad investments. You know, he wanted essentially to be a little more entrepreneurial as the way he says it. So he was going to create this unauthorized loan, as he sort of calls it, where he essentially takes the $13 million plus from these sponsors and just uses it to capitalize these investments he wants to make.
The Kings are in their new arena with the help of Jeff David. It has a new name. How's the team doing?
I mean, the Sacramento Kings aren't exactly league leaders. I mean, they DeMarcus Cousins at the time is a very exciting player.
Cousins, look at the big man take it inside. What a play! DeMarcus Cousins! What a...
You know, they show promise. They're a consummate cellar dweller in the NBA.
Bogdanovich to the rim. No good. Picked up by Jackson. No good. Ball's loose. Picked up by Kuzma. The Kings had three cracks at it and couldn't do it.
Their business side operations doing really well. I mean, this downtown arena and these real estate projects are doing well. But, you know, the team is the Kings, as they're called often in Sacramento, the Kangs. a term of slight endearing derision.
In 2018... Jeff David decides to leave the team. Where does he go?
Jeff David comes up against a situation where there's sort of a ceiling. There are people in place above him on the executive structure and the writing's on the wall. And furthermore, you know what? All the big deals that he wanted to sculpt were done. So he goes to the Miami Heat, the gold standard of NBA organizations.
Kevin, how did the Sacramento Kings come to discover that their sponsors had paid millions of dollars to Jeff David himself instead of the team?
So Stacey Wegzin, their HR executive. Stacey was the head of HR. Then it's August 2018, and she's doing very HR things. Jeff David had forgotten to leave her this document, this like commission schedule for sales reps. And like she's got to find it. She's got to give it to somebody else. And she can't find it anywhere. So finally, she kind of decides, look, I'll just go into this guy's computer and just look for the file. And she finds some kind of weird stuff. She starts digging and peeling the onion back, and the layers and layers and layers emerge. She sees that Kaiser and Golden One are partners in the purchases of these houses, which just seems so odd. Why would King's sponsors be getting into business with Jeff David on beachfront property in Southern California? This becomes an absolute obsession for her. She gets the IT department to open up his old emails. She looks at these mortgage documents. She finds these partnership agreements with forgeries. She is sitting at her kitchen table in the middle of the night to the point where her husband is coming out and saying, just like, what are you doing? She just cannot let this go. And she essentially builds the case herself. This is just a case where somebody with really good instincts just follows the trail. Ultimately, she brings it to the team president, and they all determine they have enough to call the FBI, that there might have been a major fraud perpetrated under the King's roof.
Coming up, the FBI turns up the pressure on Jeff David.
The best teams start with great talent, but finding the right people can be a challenge. I mean, just ask the New York Knicks. When it comes to hiring for your business, ZipRecruiter can help you find the right candidates for your team fast, from healthcare to manufacturing to business services and more. And now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 top job sites, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right skills and experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. You can even add screening questions to your job listing so you can filter candidates and focus on the best ones. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, to try ZipRecruiter for free, my listeners can go to ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. That's ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
So as this investigation is unfolding, Jeff David arrives at his new job in Miami. It's August of 2018. He's settling in and he gets a phone call from Stacey Wegzin. What does she say?
So Stacey Wegzin calls Jeff David and says, hey, I just found this folder on your directory. It says TurboTax. What should I do with it? And David plays it evasively. Oh, yeah, God, you're really taking me back. I think that's like from a few years ago. And the call is pretty banal. But unbeknownst to Jeff David, the FBI is listening on the other end. And now, by his acknowledging that the documents in this folder belong to him, he has confirmed to them that he is perpetrating this crime.
What happens next?
There's a knock on the door at the new house in Miami. It is John Sommerkamp, who is the lead investigator in the case. And they tell Jeff David, hey, we need to talk to you. We think you might have been a victim of a real estate fraud. The premise was, hey, the title company you use has been involved in a fraud. We just are asking some questions. David, obviously aware of what he did and realizing the questions are becoming more and more pointed, kind of understands now that he's cornered. I mean, nothing is said, but he becomes shorter and shorter with the responses, and eventually the interview ends.
So the FBI leaves. At what point does he tell his family what's going on?
So that night, when they get back to the rental condo they're staying in as they set up the new house, his wife, Kate David, logs on to her banking apps and finds that her balances are at zero, which is a really scary thing. And she rightly freaks out, as anybody would. And she actually asked Jeff, is it possible that we were defrauded this afternoon, that these men who said they were FBI agents might have been fraudsters themselves? Did you give them any information? And it's at this point, you know, Jeff says, well, let me call the FBI guy and see. And he does call the FBI. He calls Agent Sommerkamp, and who essentially now tells him the jig is up. You know what you did. And it's at this point when Jeff gets off the phone that he has to break it to Kate. I mean, Kate's beside herself, and he sits her down and tells her, look, I did some really bad things. Let me tell you about them.
So the jig was up.
The jig was up.
Most people would be terrified. How does Jeff David react?
And this is where you start to kind of really do the psychological profile of David. When you talk to the family members who were there, David didn't give off the impression of somebody who thought he was in big trouble. When it was brought to his attention, look, you could go to jail. I mean, you need to get an attorney. The FBI has frozen our account. Jeff David's response to his family is, hey, it's going to be okay. I'm going to give the money back. He gives off the impression of someone who acknowledges that he did wrong procedurally, but feels that, look, the money was not going to be lost. I was going to make money on this transaction. I was going to pay everybody back. Everybody would have been okay. He didn't rob anybody of money. Rather, he took out an unauthorized loan.
An unauthorized loan.
As he said to me in our interview, I never thought of it as my money.
Suffice to say, the FBI didn't see it that way.
No, the FBI saw it as pretty much white-collar crime.
And that breaking news out of Sacramento this afternoon, a former Sacramento Kings executive is now under federal investigation for stealing millions of dollars from the Kings. According to our CBS 13,
a former Sacramento Kings executive at the center of a fraud and money laundering investigation has reached a plea deal.
He is expected to enter a guilty plea. The Kings released a statement today praising prosecutors for holding David accountable and recovering all the Kings organization's assets.
The Kings are a smaller market team. They have a bit of a mom-and-pop reputation. Do you think this would have happened anywhere else in the NBA?
Yeah, this is one of the great debates. I called around to a lot of NBA business types with various NBA teams and controllers and the people and the CFOs and the CEOs. And it is a debate. I mean, I think there many organizations said, look, we have accounting systems that never would have let something like that pass. Everything is billed and invoiced, and we always call before the sponsor sends over the big annual wire. But I've had other CEOs be very honest with me. One CEO of a prominent NBA team said, the minute this story hit, we did a full audit. We updated our systems.
So where's Jeff David now?
He was sentenced in June to 7 years. We'll probably serve around five or more. And he will be serving in Morgantown, West Virginia, a low security prison.
Kevin, based on the time you spent talking to Jeff before he went to prison, why do you think he did this?
This is the biggest mystery among the dozens of sources I've spoken to, from coworkers of his who really like him, to friends, to family. I've asked his wife, I've asked his in-laws, I've asked him. No one really has a definitive explanation. When you ask David himself, he says curiosity, stupidity. I mean, that was his response. He's still at a loss. I think it's not coincidental that the NBA is so awash in wealth. If you think about what Jeff David's life was like, big Warriors-Kings game in Sacramento in this beautiful new arena, hanging out in the VIP club. This is a team owned by a guy worth hundreds of millions of dollars. It has minority partners who are worth tens of millions of dollars. Every one of those ball players makes more than he does. A coach who's relatively his age, comparatively speaking, making 10 times what he makes, right? He's the pauper. And I can't help but wonder if when you were around that kind of extreme wealth, when you're rubbing shoulders with the people who have so much more, did it just totally skew his worldview?
One thing I find interesting about the whole story is, you know, his excuse to the FBI was, well, I was going to return the money, and he did. They got the money back and then some, no?
Right. I mean, the postscript of this deal is that the houses he chose in 2016 to purchase turned a very nice profit by the end of 2018. Everybody was made whole. The Sacramento Kings were made whole. Golden won.
So there's really no victim here, no?
This was the Jeff David defense at the sentencing, which is everybody was made whole. Who got hurt, right? Obviously, we could sit here and debate the moral hazards of letting white-collar criminals who just happen to turn a profit on their thievery. But to the extent that, technically speaking, yes, the Kings were made whole and everybody was made whole.
Mm. So he might not be a villain, but I think it's pretty clear the hero is in HR.
The hero is in HR. Stacey Wegg's in Save the Day. I mean, I think that's what's so crazy. We are talking about 2026 before there's any shortfall in the Golden One. I mean, it's very possible that if Stacey Wegzin had not gotten inside that folder, that Jeff David would be profiting right now.
It's truly an inspiring tale for HR staffers.
Yeah, they've had a rough go of it lately. So, good for the HR team.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks for having me.
I'll be back with one more story.
Now you can win a $250,000 home renovation designed by the Scott Brothers in an ADT smart home security system. To enter, just head to ADT.com/pass the protection and tell us what you want to protect. A beautiful home is great, but a safer home is even better. Now's your opportunity to get both. The winner and the winner's home will be featured in an ADT video with the Scott Brothers. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Ends March 16th. Must be 18 or over and a homeowner as of February 1st, 2020. To learn more about the contest and read the official rules, go to ADT.com/pass the protection.
That was a story you needed to know. Now here's a story I want you to know. Last week, Major League Baseball was scandalized when veteran pitcher Mike Fiers told The Athletic that the Houston Astros were stealing signs during the 2017 season using cameras in Minute Maid Park. The news has spurred MLB to investigate the allegations and a number of players around the league to weigh in. One of those players was Cubs pitcher Yu Darvish, who tweeted, "Why am I trending? Do people finally realize I'm cool?" This was, of course, a joke. Darvish knew that he was trending because when he was on the Dodgers in 2017, he got rocked by the Astros in the World Series. Twice. After his team lost, he was obliterated by fans to the point where he was actually wary of returning to LA. At the time, it was reported that Darvish might have been tipping his pitches, which would explain why, after an otherwise stellar postseason, he gave up 9 runs in less than 4 innings. But now, people are questioning if that's what really happened. The Dodgers studied Darvish's outings in the World Series and said they couldn't discern any signs of tipping. One of his games was in Houston and the other was in LA, but given what we're learning, it does seem plausible that the Astros might have engaged in some chicanery on the road. And given all that, one would think Darvish would be furious. But they would be wrong. Late last week, he published a video on YouTube in Japanese discussing the incident.
プレイしているマイク・ファイヤーズっていうピッチャーと、まあ、あとその、あ、
According to a translation in the LA Times, he said, "I feel that if I absolve myself and say it was the Astros' fault I was bad in Game 7 in the World Series, I can't develop as a person. In life, I think huge failures are extremely important. I've had a few up to this point. The World Series was one of them. I think it will remain a point of reference for me. I've already learned a lot from it." Darvish went on to call for teams to stop stealing signs and got in a bit of back and forth with the Brewers' Christian Yelich over the issue. Given the widening scope of the scandal, I imagine he's not the only pitcher with these concerns. But the level of self-awareness and grace in his comments about that World Series strikes me as rare. And if it's proven that the Astros cheat in those games, I hope he's redeemed. But it sounds like he doesn't need it. I'm Mina Kimes. That's ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.